these prayers. So in this song, Naritam Das Thakur is singing, Gauranga Balite Habe Pulaka Sharir. When will the time come when I chant the name Gauranga and my ears will stand on end in ecstasy? And Hari Hari Balite Nayane Babi Nir. And when I chant the names Hari Hari, tears will just come from my eyes. So, well, this is a nice prayer. When will that time come to us? Well, anyway, it will come clear actually as the song develops, but really, it's not just a matter of somehow forcing these things to happen, these bodily symptoms of ecstasy, but it requires real advancement and purification of the heart. Arkabe Nitai Chandir Karuna Hoi Be. When will Lord Nityananda give me his mercy? Well, at that time, Samsara Vasana Mora Kabe Tuchabe. Then, all the different, manifestations, all the different forms of samsara vasana. Samsara vasana, samsara of course means repeated birth and death. And vasana basically means impressions, but samsara vasana is a very specific thing. It is referring to the very foundational material attachments, like, or conditions of material consciousness, like the tendency to identify with a material body. And the, in those terms, the tendency to be attracted by sense objects, the opposite sex, or certain foodstuffs, just depending on the particular body. So, of course, the particular body will determine how those propensities manifest, the propensity to be attracted in this way or that way. But the general tendency to be attracted materially, regardless of whatever body it is, that's samsara vasana. The tendency to be afraid of death. It doesn't really matter what sort of body you have. That tendency will be there. It's not just a feature of the particular body. It's just a very foundational part of material existence in general. So this is samsara vasana. And he's wondering, when will all these very basic types of material states of consciousness, samsara vasana mora, kabe tuchahabe, when will they become reduced so much that they just become insignificant? When Lord Nityananda is merciful. Arkabe nitai chandir karuna habe. When Lord Nityananda is merciful, that will be seen. We will be able to understand, I got Lord Nityananda's mercy. when those samsara vasana, fundamental features of material consciousness, become insignificant. Vishaya chariya kabe shuddha habe mana. When will material desires become reduced very much, and then I'll have a purified mind? Kabe hamaheraba Sri Vrindavan. At that time, I'll be able to enter Vrindavan. When my material desires have reduced and my mind and heart have become purified, then I can enter Vrindavan. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibe Akuti. My only desire is to get the shelter of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Kabe Hama Bhujabase Yugala Purity. When that happens, when I really get the shelter of their lotus feet, then I'll be able to understand the transcendental relationship between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahu Mor Asha. My desire, my only desire, is to get that shelter of the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. Kartana Karoye Sada Narottama Das. This is the constant prayer of Narottama Das Thakur. So these are nice meditations for us to think about. Not in a cheap way, but from the heart, we should be desiring to make some progress in Krishna consciousness. And really develop a deeper appreciation for and develop a deeper experience of Krishna consciousness. All these things mentioned here, they are available. They're available to all of us Cape Townians. It's not just some special people. Of course, you're all special people. But it's not just for some elite who only live in Vrindavan or Mayapur. These things are available for any sincere devotee anywhere. Anytime, if we really just become serious about our Krishna consciousness, then we can experience wonderful, transcendental ecstasy of attraction for Krishna and love for Krishna. We can also get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and all those very basic features of material consciousness can just dissolve. And you'll wonder, where did it go? Can't find it any longer. It disappeared to places unknown. And we hope it stays there. And we can also become free from the attractions to sense-gratifying activities and purify our hearts and minds. And in this way, we can enter Vrindavan. Means not just geographically, like, I went to Vrindavan by the mercy of South African Airways to Mumbai, and then I got the mercy of Jet Airways to Delhi, then I got the mercy of a taxi driver, and in this way I got the mercy to be in Vrindavan. Some special mercy. even people who go to Vrindavan or Mayapur in that way, just by buying a ticket. That sort of person, they don't really enter Vrindavan. It's like they're on the surface. There's a special covering through which it's not completely transparent, of course, but you can see something through it. Yeah, some idea you can get of what is there. But it's cloudy and opaque and even distorted. But as one advances in Krishna consciousness and really starts to develop that mood of sincere service to Radha and Krishna, then things become clearer. Yes. So, and then we can gradually understand their relationship more and more. And this should be one of our major prayers. So yesterday we sang the other song. Today we sang this song. Yesterday we told some of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as first of all his appearance, and then a little bit some childhood pastimes. So we'll continue on from there. Lord Chaitanya as a schoolboy, we finished off with that pastime about the parrot. Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar with the parrot. Very, very nice, very beautiful. Now, well, we will begin by telling you also a pastime of Lord Chaitanya when he was small and at school. But it's a little more maybe dramatic in a certain way. It's actually slightly X-rated. So, just be careful. If it gets difficult for you, block your ears. But Lord Chaitanya, generally when he was a child, generally before his father passed away, up to that time, Lord Chaitanya was not manifesting himself as the Supreme Lord, even as a devotee, because his mission as the Supreme Lord is to show by practical example what it means to be a devotee in this age, current age, Kali Yuga. But up until that time, means sort of 20-ish or whatever, something like that, he was not manifesting himself in either capacity practically at all, hardly at all. But occasionally a little bit here and there. So anyway, in Navadweep, that town or city in West Bengal where Lord Chaitanya appeared and where he was raised, and living very near, actually, to Lord Chaitanya's parents' house, there was a very great devotee named Murari Gupta. He was a very great devotee, and his profession was, he was a doctor. And he was a very well-known doctor, and you could say very successful. He was really able to treat the people effectively and help the people a lot in terms of their physical sicknesses, but also in terms of their spiritual sicknesses, means forgetting Krishna and just becoming absorbed in material life. So anyone would come to him, he would cure them in both ways. And they would walk out cured physically and spiritually. They'd walk out healthy and as devotees. So it was quite amazing. So one day, Murari Gupta was walking in the street, and he was speaking to someone who was not a devotee, but the person was basically like a yogi, or at least they were attracted to yoga, meaning the physical exercises, that type of yoga. And that person, very interested and attracted in that type of yoga, he was questioning Murari Gupta, who was a big authority on all Vedic subject matters. He was a devotee, so he wasn't really interested in other things, but he knew about them. So they're walking along, and this person's questioning him about yoga exercises, etc. And Lord Chaitanya started walking behind him. I mean, right behind him. Have you ever seen it, or have you ever done it? Or has someone done it to you? Walking in your footsteps, like immediately behind you. That's what Lord Chaitanya was doing, and Murari Gupta was saying, yes, yoga is like this, and yoga is like that, and there's this exercise, and that exercise, and so on and so forth. And as Lord Chaitanya was walking behind him, he was repeating, like parrot fashion, repeating what Murari Gupta said. And Chaitanya Bhagavat says, he was mocking Murari Gupta. He spoke as if his hand was stuck in his mouth. Well, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but if you want to know, try that. In other words, he was mocking him and speaking in a funny way and just repeating what he'd said in this sort of sarcastic way. And some of the other boys who were with Lord Chaitanya, they were doing the same thing. It was just the joke of the moment. And Murari Gupta spun around and said, you're Jagannath Mishra's son. He's a great devotee and very respectable personality. And, you know, you're just an embarrassment to him. He should be embarrassed if people know that you're his son. You're so badly behaved. And Lord Chaitanya said, when you eat your lunch today, I will come and I will teach you a lesson. What now? So Maharaja Gupta didn't know really what was going on at all. But anyway, he carried on. Then later he went home for lunch. And he sat down to have lunch. Nice plate of prasadam. Everything's fine. And suddenly, whoa, right in front of the plate, right in front of him, was Lord Chaitanya. A little boy, but dressed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, very imposing figure. And Lord Chaitanya said, So you're interested in yoga, are you? Physical exercises. You think this is very nice. Is that what you think? And Maharaja Gupta couldn't say anything. He was just too overwhelmed by the whole scene. So you think it's good, do you? Is that what you think? Let me teach you what I think of all that. Nonsense. And you know what Lord Chaitanya did? He urinated on the plate of prasad. Maharaja Gupta just comes. He was already bewildered. Now he's just like triple bewildered. He didn't know what to do, what to say, what to think. And then he looked up again, and in front of his eyes, Lord Chaitanya vanished. He didn't just go quickly. He just de-manifested just like that. And Murari understood, he's actually the Supreme Lord. And he didn't appreciate that I had apparently had some interest in something other than pure devotional service. He's the Supreme Lord, so I'm going to go over and have his darshan and take shelter of him. And he ran to Lord Chaitanya's house. He just ran. And you know, he's a fully grown man, and Lord Chaitanya's young. So he thought he would beat him home. He arrived there, Lord Chaitanya was already there. But having been dressed in all this extraordinary paraphernalia and just super opulent, now Lord Chaitanya was wearing his school clothes. And Maharaja Gupta thought, wow, how did he get home so fast? How did he change so fast? And Lord Chaitanya was sitting on his mother's lap. And Maharaja Gupta came over. He was going to offer his obeisances. But Lord Chaitanya turned and saw him and said, oh, Maharaja Gupta, you're such a great devotee. Lord Chaitanya offered his obeisances to him. And Murari understood, he's hiding himself. Let me not say anything. So this is Lord Chaitanya. This is Lord Chaitanya. Just revealing himself a little bit to his devotees. When Lord Chaitanya was smaller, actually, when Lord Chaitanya was pre-school, one great devotee came and visited the family, and he asked if he could stay overnight. And Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's father, said, yes, please. What an honor, what a privilege and a pleasure It would just be so wonderful. So, okay, now he was going to stay. And he said, you know, the thing is, I have a deity of Gopal, and I've been traveling all day. I have not been able to worship him. Can I worship him? And Jagannath Mishra said, of course. Tell us what you need. We'll provide everything. So they provided the paraphernalia. I mean, like flowers and incense and things. And then the devotee said, now I have to offer Gopal some food. So he cooked. And he cooked up. Nice. A number of preparations. Took at least an hour. At least an hour. And then he went to offer them. He put the plate in front of Gopal, rang the bell, bowed down, started chanting the mantras, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, and so on. All the relevant mantras. As he's bowing down, and he's really happy, it's nice to make a nice offering. Suddenly he heard sounds coming from the altar. Clink, clunk, rustle, and sounds like that. And in the middle of the mantras, he looked up. And there was little Lord Chaitanya on the altar, eating off the plate. And the poor devotee got so upset. Oh no! Oh no, what are you doing, little boy? What are you doing? And Lord Chaitanya said, what do you think I'm doing? You called me to eat. I'm eating. And the devotee didn't get it. He just thought, oh no, this little boy is terrible. So he got extremely upset. And Jagannath Mishra came and he was really upset with little Lord Chaitanya, little Nimai. And he said to the devotee, please cook again. I'm so sorry my son has contaminated your offering. Please cook again. So again he cooked. All nice things, nice rice. And some spinach, because this is Bengal, and some kidney beans, and nice things. So he cooked, and Jagannath Mishra said, don't worry about this child, I will lock him in his room. And he took him away and locked him up. So anyway, so he cooked, and now he's offering. He bowed down and ringing the bell and chanting the mantras. Suddenly, from the altar, bang, scrape, chomp, chomp. Sounds like that. And he looked up, and there was little Lord Chaitanya again eating off the plate. And that poor devotee, it was just too much. What are you doing, you terrible child? Lord Chaitanya said, what do you mean? I'm eating. You called me again. Here I am. But the devotee didn't get it. And Jagannath Mishra came. This time he got really angry with Lord Chaitanya. And he told the devotee, you know, by now it's like 8, 9 o'clock at night. Please cook again. I will send him to our relative's place on the other side of town with a whole army of guards. And they will just keep him totally under control. So the devotee started cooking again. Cooking. Okay, everything's nice. Now, again, the offering plate on the altar. Bow down, chant the mantras, ring the bell. But again, scraping sounds, slurping sounds, burping sounds. And he looked up. It was Lord Chaitanya again, and it was too much. He almost had a heart attack. Jagannath Mishra did not come. It's just the two of them. And the devotee said to little Meemai, "Why are you doing this? Why? Why?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Listen, keep calling me. What's wrong with you?" And the poor devotee didn't know if he was coming or going. And he just called out, "Oh, Gopal, Gopal, save me." And Lord Chaitanya manifested as Gopal. And the devotee just fainted on the ground in ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya told him, don't tell anybody about this. Don't say a word to anybody. So this only came out later, a lot later. So now let's see. Yes, okay. Lord Chaitanya, we mentioned how Lord Chaitanya, he did not manifest himself as a devotee or as the Supreme Lord. He rather actually externally he manifested the appearance of being a very, like, a genius materialistic student. Yeah. Materialistic. Not into God. The devotees would say to him, "Come on, come and join us." And he'd say, "Ah, you think I'm going to let people see me jumping up and down with you lot and chanting Hari Hari Bol? Forget it." So Lord Chaitanya was very arrogant and apparently anti-Krishna consciousness. Very amazing. So, in his class at school, there was Gadadhar, who was a great devotee. There was Mukunda Dutt, who was also a very great devotee and amazing singer, and a great philosopher. Even though these just as young boys, schoolboys. And Lord Chaitanya, like we said, he was like a genius. And at school, they would have debates. Someone would have to take one side, someone else would have to take another side. And they debate different things, just anything, just to learn the skills of debating. So Lord Chaitanya, sometimes with Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya would debate against him on any subject and completely defeat him. Totally devastate him. And then Lord Chaitanya would grab him and say, "Hey," and Mukunda would want to sit down and just, you know, "That's enough for me, thanks." Lord Chaitanya would grab him and say, "Hey, why you want to sit down? I want to continue debating with you. You're my favorite debating partner. And Lord Chaitanya would then take the same subject, then he would take the other side, which Mukunda had been taking, and Mukunda would take the side that Lord Chaitanya had been taking. Mukunda would use the same arguments Lord Chaitanya did. Lord Chaitanya would completely defeat him. Totally, totally defeat his own arguments, which had previously defeated Mukunda. And so it was just too much, to the point that when Mukunda would see him walking down the street, Mukunda would quickly look at his watch and say, "Urgent appointment, must go, see you later," and just disappear. You know, at school, he and Gadadhar and the other, there were other devotees there too, they would try to preach to him sometimes. But like we mentioned, Lord Chaitanya would just laugh at them and mock them. So one day, Lord Chaitanya is walking down the street. Who should come around the corner but Mukunda? Seeing Lord Chaitanya, he tried to change direction. He couldn't. Lord Chaitanya grabbed him and said, "Where are you going? Are you going to have some of that funny kirtan with those other Hare Krishna people? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to jump up and down? Is that what you're going to do? What you going to do?" And Mukunda said, "Listen, you know, please, just stop this. We are devotees of Krishna. He is the greatest. He's the most wonderful. Don't speak about Krishna like this. Don't speak about the devotees like this. You should be respectful. And you should, actually, you should become a devotee. If you become a devotee, you'll do very nicely." And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, look. Okay, I'll tell you what. You keep telling me I must become a devotee. Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to become a devotee. Okay. And Mukunda couldn't understand. Is he just being sarcastic? What's he doing? And Lord Chaitanya said, "Yeah, I'm going to become a devotee. Just wait and see." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Not only am I going to become a devotee, I'm going to become the greatest devotee. In fact, I'm going to become such a devotee, you will never have seen such a devotee before. You think Advaita Acharya is a great devotee? Huh? Wait till you see the devotee I become." And so Mukunda, you know, his head's just spinning. And Lord Chaitanya said, "I will become such a great devotee that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will personally come to offer their obeisances at my lotus feet." And Mukunda thought, "No, this is too much. I just can't take it. This Nimai is too much." But Lord Chaitanya, this is what he said. Yeah. So then, you know, many things happened. Many things happened. But after Lord Chaitanya's father passed away, Lord Chaitanya was maybe 20 or very early 20s or something like that. When Lord Chaitanya's father passed away, well, actually, just shortly before that, like a year before his father passed away, another great devotee came to the house of Lord Chaitanya and his parents. This was a devotee called Ishvara Puri, a very extraordinary devotee. And he actually stayed for a period of time. He stayed for a period of time with Lord Chaitanya and his family. And Lord Chaitanya at this point, he was married, just married. Although he married young, but he was just recently married. And he would sit down with this devotee, Ishvara Puri. And Ishvara Puri would preach and speak about Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was very impressed. Extremely impressed. And one day, Ishvara Puri told Lord Chaitanya that I have written a book. What was the name of that book? Anyway, it's the book. Krishna something something. Lord Chaitanya, Ishvara Puri told Lord Chaitanya, I have written this book and you are famous as a Sanskrit scholar. So would you be kind enough to check my book and just see, you know, if everything's correct and the grammar is correct and, you know, just the general presentation is correct. So Lord Chaitanya agreed. And he found something. He found something. It's too technical in Sanskrit terms to really get into here. But he found a verb, one word, a verb, which he felt was in the wrong form. You know, it's technically called Atmanepad or Parasmaipad. There are two ways of expressing a verb in terms of the context. You know, just like perhaps saying, I was reading or I read. There's a difference, you know, technical difference of verbal form. But this was much more subtle. It was much more subtle. But, you know, that sort of idea. And Lord Chaitanya came back the next morning and said, you know, your book is wonderful. However, there's one problem. There's this verb. And he explained and showed Ishvara Puri. And Ishvara Puri said, no, 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 no. It's not wrong. It's right the way it is. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. So they had a little debate. And Ishvara Puri told him that, look, you please go home and think about it further. Check your Sanskrit grammar books, Panini, and just see. Lord Chaitanya came back the next morning and said, you are right. It was correct. I was mistaken when I thought you'd use the wrong form. And Lord Chaitanya at that point felt, he has defeated me. I thought I was very clever. He has defeated me. And Lord Chaitanya decided to accept him as a spiritual master. Anyway, Ishvara Puri stayed for some time, but then he left. Because he was basically a traveling mendicant, just traveling on his own. all around. No particular route, just wherever he decided to go and wherever the devotees invited him, he would just go there. So Lord Chaitanya then, but Lord Chaitanya was always thinking about this. This devotee was just so wonderful. I want to accept him as my spiritual master. But how to find him? Then his father passed away. And Lord Chaitanya, it was the custom that, particularly after the father passes away, the oldest son will go to Gaya, because there's special shrine of Lord Vishnu, especially for doing that sort of pinda ceremony. You can close the door, yeah. So off he went, and he did the ceremony there. And while he was there in Gaya, who should he meet but Ishvara Puri? And Ishvara Puri, he was not there to do any rituals or anything. He was just there as a traveling mendicant and just chanting and just in ecstasy completely. So Lord Chaitanya met him one day and fell at his lotus feet and begged him, won't you please accept me as your disciple? And Ishvara Puri agreed. So they had a little initiation ceremony just for Lord Chaitanya. And then another thing happened. Let me just check. Interesting little thing happened. So Lord Chaitanya actually this happened just before I mean in Gaya but be just before the initiation, Ishvara Puri arrived where Lord Chaitanya was staying, and Lord Chaitanya was cooking for himself. And Ishvara Puri said, oh, he laughed and said, oh, I have come at the right time. Strategic arrival. And Lord Chaitanya said that please sit down and I'll feed you. And Lord Chaitanya fed him all of the prasadam. So Lord Chaitanya served Ishvara Puri in that way. So then the initiation took place, and Lord Chaitanya, now he's initiated, Lord Chaitanya said to Ishvara Puri that, now I'm your disciple. Please tell me, what service should I do? How can I serve you? And Lord Chaitanya suggested, should I discuss and debate dry Vedanta philosophy, impersonal philosophy, and so on? And famously, Ishvara Puri told him, no, don't do that. What you must do is Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo nasjeva 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 gatir anyata. This is a verse from Brihan Naradiya Purana. Very famous verse, extremely famous. Just chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names of Hari, Krishna. In this age of Kali, there's no other way, no other way, no other way to achieve the goal of life. So this is Vedic. This is from Purana, Brihan Naradiya Purana. This is completely authentic. So Ishwarapuri instructed Lord Chaitanya like that. And Lord Chaitanya said, right, I'll do it. That's it. And he just walked away chanting and chanting and chanting. And almost practically as soon as he started chanting, amazing, ecstatic symptoms just started overwhelming him. Tears just started pouring from his eyes. His body started shaking uncontrollably. These symptoms come when a person is very advanced, really extremely advanced. Because what happens is, on that level of pure Krishna consciousness, the Lord's internal potency, spiritual potency, descends and enters the heart of the devotee. And that spiritual potency contacts the different elements of the body. When the spiritual potency contacts the element water in the body, because our bodies, after all, are some 70% or whatever it may be, water in one way or another. Our blood obviously has water content, mixed of course, and various other things. The bodies are some substantial percentage of water. So when the spiritual potency contacts the element water in the body, then the water element, it's not just like if you get upset and you cry if someone tells you you're a dirty rotter, and then you get upset and you cry, he told me I'm a dirty rat. Not that sort of crying. But now the whole element of water within the body, it has become, you know, agitated powerfully by the internal potency. So water starts just pouring out, particularly of the eyes. Lord Chaitanya, when he would dance in Rath Yatra, so much water would come out of his eyes. Not just like tears, but like water from a syringe, or even like from a hose. And the people surrounding him as he danced in this most incredible way, they became saturated. So it's a different type of crying. And when the spiritual potency contacts the element air in the body, because there's air moving in the body, so then the body shakes. You know, we've all been cold, I'm sure, at some time. Our body is shaken a bit. But this is different shaking. This is different shaking. Raghunath Das Goswami, it's a long story, but he was reading Lalita Madhava, of Rupa Goswami, where Krishna leaves Vrindavan and a number of the gopis die. And it's very dramatic. Very dramatic. And Raghunath Das became so overpowered, his body was shaking so violently. It's the symptom of ecstasy that all the devotees thought he was going to die. His body would just shake to pieces, or some organs would just be too damaged, and that would be it. So they went to Rupa Goswami, who had written Lalita Madhava, and said, look, you got to take the book away from him. You got to do something. He's going to die any time. Because, you know, it's tragic. It's ecstatic, but it's tragic ecstasy, ecstatic tragedy or something. Krishna leaves Vrindavan, the separation of the devotees. So Rupa Goswami quickly wrote Lalita Madhava is a drama. He quickly wrote another drama, Dan Keli Komudi, which is a drama of Radha and Krishna meeting. Here it was about them being separated. Now it's about Radha and Krishna meeting, and it's very jolly and funny. And just, you know, it's really, just incredibly joyful. So Rupa Goswami went there and told Raghunath Das, you know, I just thought of it. There's some things wrong in the other book. I'm going to take it back. Here, take this new book and check this one. So Raghunath Das agreed, started reading Dan Keli Komudi, which is full of Radha and Krishna meeting, and it's really just very jolly. And he became, his ecstasy and separation reduced, the shaking reduced, and his life was saved. So Lord Chaitanya had these amazing, incredible symptoms. And the next day he came back to Ishwarapura and he said, you know, you gave me that mantra. Thank you. But I think there's something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong with the way I'm chanting it. Because whenever I chant it, before I even finish the mantra, I just become totally bewildered. And I can't even finish the mantra. I just, Hare, and I collapse, or something. So, please help me. Save me. And Ishwarapuri, who understood the situation, he just laughed and said, congratulations, my dear child. You have perfected your life. And that was all he said. So then Lord Chaitanya returned home to Bengal, some distance away, and tune in. Not tomorrow night, the day after. Tune in and we'll go through some of the pastimes and lessons from when Lord Chaitanya manifested himself as a devotee on his return from Gaya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comments or questions from any of you wonderful devotees? Yes, Jyoti Prabhu.
Mark, why do you think Lord Chaitanya went through this period of mocking the devotees and...
it's all just part of his pastime of just making the whole, you know, when he does manifest himself, just making it more wonderful and ecstatic. You know, occasionally he would do things like with Murari Gupta, and there are a few other things. But otherwise, yeah, not. And that's how I understand it. Just to increase the ecstasy. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why separation is there. To increase the ecstasy of meeting. Yeah. It's you could say, a transcendental device for increasing the nectar. And surely, Lord Chaitanya doing like that, surely it's a transcendental device. Yeah. To make everything sweeter and just more amazing when the time comes. And it really did. It really did, yeah. Any comment, Shamananda Prabhu?
It's nice showing the Mahaprakash Lila when Mahaprabhu reminded many of those devotees about the things he did. And that really underlines your point that you're making.
Well, don't tell them.
Okay, hold on.
Because, you know, then they may not come back. Because we're going to talk about that after a couple of days. But yes, that's true. He revealed himself to all the devotees. They were all there. How, yeah, different interactions they had had, and it was just amazing, truly amazing. Any other point? Yes. Say that again.
Can Maharaj be sing Sri Rupa Manjari
Pada? Oh.
Even one line.
I think we're going to sing it the day after tomorrow. So you'll have to come. Will that be okay? You'll come? Day after tomorrow. 28th evening? Is that okay? We'll sing it. We'll sing it. It's nice. And we'll talk about it, because it's a, you know, there's all very special meaning to that. But thank you. Very thoughtful question. Satchi Kumar Prabhu, any comment? Make some comment. Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question. Yes. You were saying last night that Sri Vishnu was a manifestation of Balaram.
Yes.
But we also understand that Nityananda Prabhu is also Balaram.
Yes.
Balaram has unlimited manifestations.
Yes.
But it seems that Nityananda Prabhu was more prominently...
In the long run, that Vishwaroop also disappeared while Lord Chaitanya was still at home, basically, or, yeah, while he was still relatively a bit on the younger side, at least. But yes, they're both Balaram, it's true. Definitely true. I don't know if they ever met. That would have been interesting, wouldn't it? But Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna, and Gadadha is Radha, and they spent so much time together. Yeah, because, you know, Lord Balaram, he really likes to serve, and he manifests many forms to serve Krishna. So here he's also, because he wants to serve Lord Chaitanya, First of all, he's his older brother at home. And he was a really good devotee, Vishwaroop. And then a little later, it's Lord Nityananda serving Lord Chaitanya so much. Yeah. Just little different moods, but the same mood also, older brother type mood. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. What should we do now?
Can we do a kirtan?
We can.